Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 54. I am Jeff. Say hello, Chris.
Hello.
We're back once again. 2 weeks in a row, we made it.
Jesus Christ.
And, you know, once again, for October, we are doing all horror-themed episodes. This is a bit of a weird one that I came up with, so if you don't like it, yell at me. This week, we're going to just kind of list off five movies that I'm calling fringe horror movies. Basically, movies that are not horror movies, but I would consider, or, you know, for my list, I would consider them to be, kind of.
Right, they're generally considered, like, not horror films, but they have horror themes to them, and, like, you consider them horror films.
Yeah, like, they're not straight horror genre. You know, they're in other genres, but right. I think, at least the ones I picked, most of them, they're close enough. And, you know, I can make my little points as to why I would say so. I don't know, it's just kind of like an argument I've gotten into with people over certain movies before. So, in fact, one of the movies on my list, I did get into an argument with someone about back when I worked at, like, a college newspaper. He was like, no, that's not a horror movie. Horror movies have certain things, blah, 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 in them that make them horror. I'm like, yeah, I understand, like, what a genre picture is, but I'm just saying, I don't know. If you think it's dumb, blame me. But I don't know. What do you... You got one for me, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, you want me to kick it off here?
Sure.
Let's see. You know what? Let's start out with the one on my list that's... it's the oldest on my list. But it's also probably the one most people would consider horror, I guess.
Okay.
And that's Seven. David Fincher. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
That's the oldest one you have?
Yeah. That's the oldest one on my list. Everything else is from, like, the last 10 years or so. So it's, everybody knows Seven, right? Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, they're detectives. They're hunting down a serial killer. Horror-themed. Yeah. His, like, kind of... His shtick, the serial killer's shtick, is that he kills people, like, using this, like, who are, like, you know, part of the seven deadly sins, so it all kind of lines up on there. And it definitely, like, I don't know, like, to me it's more of, like, a mystery thriller-type film, but there are definitely, like, horror themes embedded in the entire thing, and it's, like, definitely more of a horror-type flick than normal, like, drama, mystery kind of detective story, so...
Yeah, I don't think most people would put it in that category. I don't think, but... I could definitely see it. Like, definitely the way the victims are murdered, for sure, and the whole, like, brooding sort of atmosphere of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah, it's very dark, and...
Yeah. It's, like, always raining, and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, like, the way I remember, like, the first guy they found in that, like, the first victim was, like, this guy that was forced to eat till his stomach exploded or some shit.
Yeah, it's, a lot of it is, like, the aftermath of Saw before Saw. Like, well before Saw.
Yeah, there's, like, the one dude that's, like, forced to, like, rape some chick or something like that. Yeah, yeah, so I could see it. I never really thought about it until just now, but yeah, I definitely, it has elements of it for sure, I'd say. But then again, I'm the person that will, like, argue that movies that aren't horror are horror, so you probably won't get much of a fight from me on any of these.
What do you got?
I got one I just saw this week. It's on Netflix. It came out this year. It's a documentary about sleep paralysis called The Nightmare.
So is it an actual documentary or like a drama mockumentary? It's a real documentary? Or
it's a documentary.
Okay, so it's real.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about this condition, which I don't know if you know anybody that has it, but I knew someone like over 10 years ago that told me about it, and he thought it was a ghost. And then, like, years later, I read about sleep paralysis. I was like, dude, that's what you have. It's not, there's not a ghost in your room. So have you ever even heard of what the phenomenon is, like, the people suffer from?
No. I mean, like, I obviously, like, can instill sleep paralysis. You are asleep. you then wake up and you cannot move.
Yes, that's the you're awake when it happens, but it's I think I've read about it one time, but it's basically what scientists think is that like your body shuts or your brain shuts down parts of your body when you're asleep so that like you won't sleepwalk or fall out of bed or
Right,
whatever, right?
basically, it shuts down all, motor functions to give you the rest you need.
Yeah. So what happens with people that suffer from this is like they will wake up, like their brain wakes up and like they could look around and see, but none of their body, like all the things that there has been shut down, like that switch has not been flipped. So like they wake up and they cannot move. They're paralyzed. And typically this comes with very frightening like hallucinations or a sense that something, almost in all cases, that something is in the room looking at them and coming closer to them. And so just the thought of that is frightening enough alone. Like, if I ever experienced that, holy shit, dude, I would be like, I'd be drinking myself to sleep. I would fucking, not that I'm not already, but Jesus Christ, man. And the movie just talks with eight people who suffer from this, and you know, it's like basically interviews with these people. But the director, Rodney Asher, who did another documentary called Room 237 about The Shining, he visualizes what these people are experiencing, so that it's very like nightmarish imagery of like these shadow men, like shadow hat men and shadow demons, just scary imagery. It'll creep you out, and the movie freaked me the fuck out, dude. Like, especially since like one of the points that the movie makes is that like if someone tells you about it or you think about it a lot, it's more likely to happen to you. Which I don't know how true that is, but like just watching the movie, I'm like, I just watched this for an hour and a half, and I'm gonna get visited by a red fucking red-eyed shadow demon tonight. Like I thought, like I was sitting here by myself. It was kind of a gloomy day when I watched it, and it was like at night, and I got freaked the fuck out. So even though it's technically a documentary, like you could tell, like he's trying to scare the shit out of you. Like basically, this is gonna happen to you now.
Right, like
It works.
I've just spent 90 minutes talking to you about this, and also telling you how if I talk to you for 90 minutes about this, it's gonna happen to you. Do,
Yeah.
did did they go into maybe I mean, I haven't seen it yet. Do they attribute like this phenomena to like people that may have thought they've been like abducted by aliens or?
They do talk about how, well, basically the assumption is most people who know sleep paralysis think that people who think they've been abducted by aliens, like
Probably
that's
had
probably
that.
what it
Right.
is. Because some of the people who like they get visited, sometimes they do look like kind of like aliens.
Well, that's like what you're describing kind of sounds like, the reports of people that say, I was abducted, like
Which was very popular in like the 90s. Like, remember that? It was like the whole
Well,
alien abduction
and
stories.
like you would hear like the stories about how these people were like lie detector tested and like they were telling the truth, like they at least believed what they were telling like people. So
Yeah.
like that to me like kind of points to maybe this weird phenomena.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, they do talk about that in there. Dude, it freaked me out, man. It really did. So that definitely, like, it was not on my list up until like 2 days ago. I'm like, this has got to go on there, especially since everyone could see it. So like, if you're listening to this, go
Yeah,
watch it.
go
It's
watch it now.
awesome.
Yeah, I think I might add that to my queue.
I don't want to overhype it, but dude, it did scare the shit out of me. Like, it really did. Like, that, just the idea of sleep paralysis, like, I've always found frightening since I've heard about it, and just to
Right.
have a movie about it. And I'd love to see what this guy would do with, like, a straight genre picture, because he put some creepy fucking images in this film. So, and some, he put some jump scares and shit in there. Like, you could tell he definitely wanted to, kind of squeeze in a horror movie into it,
Right.
So.
Let's see. Next up for me, I'm actually just kind of paused this movie right before we started. Danny Boyle's Sunshine. It's about the premise of it is that there's this mission to the sun, and they're gonna drop a nuke on it because the sun's dying, and they're gonna drop this like massive, Manhattan-sized nuke into the sun to re-spark it and try to like recreate the Big Bang again to bring the sun back. But it's all about the isolation of like as they're heading out there, and they hit the dark zone where they can no longer transmit messages back to Earth. And for like probably an hour and 20 minutes or so, it's just this like fantastic sci-fi story that deals, with their mission and the frailty of like their mind as they're going there, and things start going bad, and they realize that they're gonna die. And then towards the end, it gets probably more horror-y, I guess, where there's like an actual monster type thing on board with them, kind of chasing them around. But for the most part, most people would probably consider it just like a sci-fi adventure type film. It's actually how it's
That's,
described on the back of it, so.
I mean, that's all I've never seen it. That's all I've ever heard of it. I never knew that there were even horror elements to it, so.
Yeah, I mean, even the right, like just the space is scary in and of itself. So, like just the nature of like what they're doing is kind of terrifying. And then there's all these like, Boyle is such a wonderful visual filmmaker that like he is able to capture kind of the terror and visceralness of everything that's going on. So. If you haven't seen
Man,
it, I would definitely give it a watch. It's great.
I was just gonna say, I have to check it out. I love Danny Boyle. Well, for the most part, just some of his movies I don't care
I
for,
mean,
but
if you can get past like the ridiculousness of the mission to start with, that they're going to like the sun is dying, so they're gonna go like drop this really big nuke in it. Like the science of that doesn't really work
it doesn't
out.
hold up.
Yeah, no. Although I do want to watch the there's a commentary with I guess a doctor. From like Manchester Institute of Technology. I want to see like what his commentary on the science side of it is, and see if any of it actually does make any damn sense. 'Cause it's a little nutty, but it's definitely a very tense film, and I think it kind of fits into the horror section.
I'll be sure to check it out. My next one, this is an easy one, I think. I think most people would probably agree with this one. This is my oldest one as well, The Terminator. If you
Yeah.
think about it, yeah, like that, the original one compared to the rest of the franchise, like look at you, it's this big like summer blockbuster action movie. The first one's like super dark, like. That's why I love the first one way more than any of them.
Well, it's definitely more of a horror film than like Terminator 2 is an action, straight up action movie, like.
Yeah, and Terminator is an action film, but it's action horror in my book. Like,
Right.
it's this unstoppable killing machine. He doesn't say much in it. Like, there's some cool gore effects kind of as he starts to like fall apart. And just the way like you don't like know anything about him in it, and it's just a grittier feeling movie all around than any of the others that followed. Like Terminator 2 is like super slick, it still looks good today.
Oh yeah.
And Terminator 1, it feels like basically like a slasher film mixed with an action picture, That's why I do Terminator 1 is like one of my favorite movies ever, and I don't think any of the rest of the series comes close to it. I know that's like sacrilege, like everyone loves 2, but
I mean, I think they're two very different movies too.
yeah.
So like, I got a question for you. Like, would you consider Alien a horror film?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so like that's why that didn't like make it onto my list. I figured
Yeah.
it was like it's more of a straight kind of like horror film. But like same thing with Terminator and Terminator 2, like the sequel to Alien, while
That's,
great in
yeah.
its own right, is not a horror film at all. It's like a Vietnam War movie set in space.
Yeah. The only element of horror really in the sequel is just that the creatures are, scary looking. Like, you know what I mean? Like the
Right.
first one, that's straight up horror, dude. Like, I wouldn't even put the original Alien in sci-fi. Like, that's just a classic horror movie. But
That's why it's not on my list here, so.
yeah, considered it briefly.
I did. I was like, I don't know if this works or not.
All right, so I don't think I'm gonna get anyone yelling at me about that one. I don't think, but.
No. So my next one is it's another kind of like mystery thriller type thing. Starring Ryan Reynolds in a box.
Oh yeah.
called Buried. It is the entire movie, I think, for the most part, takes place with, Ryan Reynolds in this coffin, buried alive, and he only has like his lighter and his cell phone, and he's trying to like get out of there. And just the claustrophobic nature of the film is like really what kind of terrifies me about it. Like
Yeah.
that's like just the concept, like just being buried alive is something that scares the shit out of me. So,
Yeah.
I think that one like definitely, like I could see where you'd be like, oh no, it's not. It's more of like straight thriller. There's not any horror, really horror
Yeah,
elements to
there's
it,
not
but
like real, there's no kills
right.
or
I mean,
that.
it's just
Yeah.
this guy in a box, but it's like, I mean, he is in a race against his life, like with the oxygen slowly dwindling on him, so.
Yeah, and just you're right though, like just being confined in that small of a space where you could not even really move at all.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's that would
he
suck.
can't do like anything at all in there.
Yeah.
It's
I do
terrifying.
remember he deserves some credit for that 'cause he basically carries that whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good movie and I don't remember exactly how it ends, but I remember there were some cool twists and stuff, so I think that's a good one. That's one people should check out. It's pretty short too, if I remember correctly.
It's like 80 minutes or so. It's a short movie.
Yeah, it's definitely better. I don't know why. I just saw this, like a movie I saw earlier this year called Lock, and that's Tom Hardy in a car for 90 minutes. That
Okay.
movie fucking sucked. It's just him in his fucking car on a phone. That sucked, but yeah, Buried was good. I remember really liking that.
What do you
My
got
next.
next?
Yeah. You're gonna remember this one, Chris, and I don't know. I think I might get you to go with me on this one. It's Hard Candy from 2005.
That was almost on my list.
Was it? It
Yeah,
popped in my head the other
I
day. I'm
had it
like, I have
starred
to.
because I'm like, this is a little more horror than like the. I mean, I like straight up consider it a horror film, which obviously you do too. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think most people would say it's like a thriller.
Right.
It's basically like this guy is trying. It's Patrick Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And Ellen Page.
Yes. That's
It's
it. Like, that's the
yeah.
cast.
And he plays like this fucking creeper, like pedophile dude who's trying to pick up Ellen Page, who like I think in the movie she's like a 14-year-old or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, you're like fucking unsettled right from the start. And then she fucking flips the script on him and she holds him captive and she's gonna
Yeah,
fuck him. Like she's,
she's the one that like she had actually planned this whole thing out because like
he's the prey. Yeah,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Which is just a really interesting, fun concept for a movie, like a great twist, like that happens right at the beginning,
Yeah.
And mainly for me, there is one fucking scene in this movie I've never felt more uncomfortable or more like just horrified watching. I don't even know if I want to spoil it, but it's been out a while, so I don't know. It's up to you, Chris. I'm sure you remember what I'm talking about here.
Like that the castration scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, dude. It's just, I don't want to spoil exactly what happens, but there is a very drawn out, fucking horrifying castration scene. So that, like, right there,
Yeah,
that's a lot on my list.
the way it's shot is just
Oh,
like
it's
this kind of like you don't really know, like, because they're not going to show it, obviously. You don't really know what's happening.
but she's like,
You
now I'm shaving your balls and now I'm doing
yeah,
this.
like
I'm like,
she's describing
oh.
everything, and like
And
he
you hear
is
the sounds
flipping
of things
out.
happening and you're like, oh my God, dude. That scene alone is just one of the most powerful scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Like it really like physically upset me.
Yeah,
Like
it's. I mean, we talked last week about Eli Roth and like how some of his scenes like kind of have stuck with us over the years. But that's another one. Like, and they don't really show anything throughout most of it, and it's still like so like kind of gut wrenching and
fucking brilliant.
stomach turning. So.
I'm gonna have to show my girlfriend that one. I wonder if she'd like that. What do you got next, Chris?
So last week you kind of brought up one Darren Aronofsky movie.
Ah, yes.
I'm bringing up a different one, Black Swan.
Oh yeah.
With Natalie Portman. It's about this like ballet dancer who is she becomes the lead in Swan Lake, and she goes like she loses her mind over the course of the film as she like is trying to devote herself to keeping this lead and being the best that she can become, and it just ends up with like this the ending of it is just out of nowhere kind of like but very horrific in it the way it's kind of set up all the way through, although most people would probably just consider it like a straight drama or like some sort of weird thriller type twist thing.
That's a weird one, dude. I
It,
still
it's
don't know how
weird.
I feel about that.
I've really liked it, so that's why I made it up here.
I could definitely see though people categorizing that one. It's like kind of smart upscale horror, maybe. But yeah, I don't know.
Like, I mean, he definitely plays around with themes in all of his films, so
Yeah.
he's a weird dude. His movies are very
I generally like everything he's done.
yeah, like they're hard to classify too, like each of them individually, because there's so many different themes at play in them, except for
It's
maybe like The
weird.
Wrestler.
That is, yeah, and I was just gonna say, that's like one of the most straightforward ones, and it's awesome still. Like, I really liked that movie when I first saw it,
Yeah.
so I don't know. I got one. This is one I think we probably talked about on Movie Dudes before, possibly. We need to talk about Kevin. I don't think most people would see that as a horror movie. And the reason is because it's so fucking well done. Like if you look it up on IMDb, it's classified as drama. I think most people would say it's like, a dark drama or something, but
Right.
like think about it. It's how many fucking movies have there been about evil kids? Like, and they're all horror, like The Good Son, The Omen, etc., etc. This is a straight up evil kid movie, but it approaches the material as if it was really happening to real people.
What it's not even just that it's evil kid movie, it's more that's like as you said, like that it's happening to real, like you can relate to it, especially with like the society that the things that are going on in the society now, like it's very relatable, but you're kind of exploring his mind and the effects that it leaves on those that you leave
Yeah,
behind.
like it really, like a huge portion of the film is the mother dealing with the fact that her kid's evil, and like in a very real world way, like not a schlocky horror movie type way, you know? I mean, but dude, to me, I like stand by that 100% because it's not even like that kid is evil from day one. Like, this is a movie about an evil fucking kid. Like, they do kind of let you question whether like she influenced that a bit by being kind of a cold mother, but that kid's a little asshole in my opinion from the get-go.
But
Like,
I think that lends to like the character study of the mother too, who's just as much the main character
because she
as
feels a
Kevin
little bit
is.
of guilt, right?
Yeah,
Like,
like
yeah,
she
about.
doesn't understand why this happened, and she kind of blames herself for. So like a lot of the film is told through like flashback,
Yeah.
and like you're kind of exploring what led up to these events.
And I did rewatch it somewhat recently. Like, dude, the ending is just absolutely chilling, and the performance from the older version of the kid, like the teenage version of the kid, like he did a fantastic job. I've seen him in some other stuff since. I can't remember what though right now, but he was very, I don't know, dude, he creeps me out. Really good movie, man. I thought, like, even upon rewatching it now, like this year, I thought it was pretty fantastic.
Let's see. The next one I got here is what's David Fincher's remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? For like 2 hours of this, it's a long movie. Like 2 hours of this movie, it's just a straight like mystery, straight detective story. And then I mean, there's some other parts in it. There's some very graphic parts, about halfway through,
Yeah.
maybe even earlier than that. That's not necessarily the horrific part. It's once you get to the reveal of like who they've been chasing all this time and what he plans to do, and it's like that's where it really takes this dark turn. And not that like they haven't been searching for this dark thing over time, but it's just like this legacy that this guy has built up, and what he's been doing, and how he's been getting away with like using his renown and money, and his family's like legacy to be able to continue to do this over and over again. It becomes really dark and twisted, so.
You know what? See, at first when you brought this up as on your list, I was like, I don't know, I don't see it. Like, but the thing is, I don't remember the movie well enough now, which is weird because I'm pretty sure I've seen it twice, or at least have seen both versions or something. I don't know, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't remember the twist, so I guess I'd have to take your word on it. But yeah, I don't. I never, like, when I saw it, I didn't. I looked at it more like a mystery with some violent, like very violent parts, but I think you're referring more to the twists, which I don't
Yeah, like more the nature of
of what's going on.
everything that's happening. Yeah, it's like the twist itself is just, oh, this is the guy. Like they find the guy, and but it's everything that leads up to it and kind of like, ties into it that really kind of makes it like this kind of horrific event.
How were the was that like a trilogy?
It is. You know what? I've never, and I keep meaning to sit down and see the other two, the girl who played with fire and the girl who kicked the hornet's nest. Because I really liked the Swedish version as well.
Yeah.
Thought Fincher's version was better shot and better, better acted. But it's also because you have Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara and
Yeah.
David Fincher directing, so. Like it's hard to go bad there, but yeah, I do want to go and see those other two. They're still up on Netflix, and actually, there's a fourth book. I guess Stieg Larsson, the guy who wrote the novels, he's no longer alive, but
Yeah.
I guess they continued on. Like I guess based on transcripts, I guess that he wrote, like they wrote a fourth book. Somebody did, and continues it on. So I kind of want to like go back and see those other two movies.
I don't know.
What do you got?
The last one I have here, this is a tough one, but this is the one I got into a fight with someone back in the day about. It's A Simple Plan from 1998 by Sam Raimi.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
Maybe.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering, but.
Okay. Most people, like almost everybody, would say, no, this is a crime drama, like in the vein of Fargo or something like that.
Right.
And yeah, maybe it is on the surface, but it's a film about evil things that normal people will do, which I guess that's what crime thrillers are, right? Like, you get money involved, and people are gonna do crazy ass shit to each other for money, right?
Right.
Or whatever. But hear me out on this, first of all. All right, so the story is these three guys, two brothers and a friend, they find a plane in the woods, and in the plane's $4 million. And it's like the middle of winter, so everything's like covered with snow. They decide they're gonna sit on the money till spring. And when people find the plane, if no one comes looking for the money, they're gonna go their separate ways, split up the money, and that's their simple plan, right?
Okay.
It's Bill Paxton, Billy Bob, and some hillbilly guy. I forgot who he is. He's in a bunch of movies, but and Bridget Fonda is Bill Paxton's wife, and Bill Paxton's like the main character. First of all, this is one of my favorite movies ever made. Like, I fucking love this movie. I think Billy Bob's performance in it is incredible. Like, just the way his character is written. Like, this is for, so if you're not a horror fan and you haven't seen this, you have to fucking see it. But here's why I'm saying it's horror, man. One, all right, like just, all right, just to who is working on it? Sam Raimi. What did he do? Fucking Evil Dead. That's not to say everything he's done is horror. He's definitely done way outside the genre, but.
Right, he did Spider-Man, for
Yeah.
example.
He did some like fucking baseball movie too or something once, I think.
Really?
I want to say like something like For the Love of the Game. Maybe that was him. I know he did a baseball movie. So yeah.
That's the name of it, actually, yes. He did that right after A Simple Plan.
But like, obviously, you know, he's got a little bit of horror in his blood. You got to start with Evil Dead. Here's my second thing I'm gonna say. It's written by a writer called Scott, named Scott Smith. I've read the book version of A Simple Plan, and the book version, like, you'd be hard pressed to say it's not horror because there's way more traditional horror scenes in it, like just very gory, like cutting people up with a fucking axe and et cetera. And it's weird because Scott Smith adapted his book for the screen. He wrote the screenplay, and dude, the movie's better in my opinion. But
Okay.
just saying, the source material, in my opinion, most people would say, yeah, that's horror. And to give you an idea, who like this guy's follow-up book was The Ruins. You ever see that movie? With the, it's like the deadly plants.
Yes.
Straight horror, right?
Yeah.
So you look at who's behind the movie, where it's coming from. And then just in the movie itself, though, like some of the kills are pretty fucking graphic and over the top. Like there's like one part where like someone gets shot with a shotgun and they just go flying like against the wall and there's just fucking blood everywhere. And it's just like a nightmarish scenario that starts to play out once these guys get their hands on the money and they're trying to keep it hidden and they, you know, their greed starts to take over them. And it's really about how like this normal couple, like Bill Paxton and his wife, like basically destroy their lives. And like, you know, they're the most normal people, but like there's a part at the beginning he asks his wife, he's like, "What if you found $4 million? What would you do with it?" And she's like, "I would give it to the police, obviously." He dumps all the money out on the table, and then like there's like a switch that flips in her head, and all of a sudden she's like planning and scheming how we're gonna get away with this. You have to kill these people, you have to do this and that. And it's just, I don't know, if you like crime thrillers, it's fucking fantastic. But I do think that there is definitely a strong enough element of horror in it to, I don't know, I think it's a movie about evil, you know?
Okay.
Hard sell on that one,
I
but
think I've seen it, but I think I want to go back and maybe revisit it.
it's fantastic, dude. Like Billy Bob is, I actually just showed it to my girlfriend like a week ago. I've been trying to show her like all my favorite movies, and even her, who like she doesn't really give a shit about anything, she's like, "Yeah, it was pretty good." Like,
Don't know if that's a resounding endorsement or not, but I'll
and
take
it,
it.
well, for her, most movies are dumb. Like that was dumb.
Oh,
So,
okay.
yeah.
Speaking of dumb, we both watched American Horror Story Hotel last night,
Oh God.
and you haven't watched American Horror Story since
Since
season one.
yeah, I watched all
There's,
season one. I thought that was pretty good.
all right, it has gotten significantly more campy and absurd. But you did not enjoy it at all, it seems, so.
I it was just a bunch of fucking gobbledygook. Like it was fucking, it was just, here's a bunch of random fucking weird shit going on in this impossible hotel that's in the middle of LA that like somehow has no fucking guess but
Well,
exists.
I mean, I don't know if you tied it together, like, the guest in there, and I'm not sure if all of them are, but the guest in there are dead.
Well, I know that the one junkie girl
Yeah,
was.
Kathy Bates' son is dead.
I thought that he got revived or something
They
by.
don't show that, but it was heavily implied, like before they showed what happened with Sarah Paulson's character, that he was dead, because like she was like, "This is like, I need to be here because it's the only way I can see you," and like he said something like, "Well, you need to like, it might be time to just move on and let me go," and like tied in with like what happened to Sarah Paulson and the fact that she is not alive, it kind of leads me to believe that he is also dead. And I have a feeling that maybe the detective, there's something off with him. Like he's not fully there
Yeah.
either. Like it kind of like I mean,
and he just decides to check into the hotel. Like,
yeah,
yup,
well, it's
here I am.
really funny because like the way the show ends, it ends with Hotel California playing, and the entire time, like this is Ryan Murphy's adaptation of the Eagles' Hotel California. Like, you could check in, but you can never leave. Like,
yeah,
it's that thing. But I don't know, like, his American Horror Story over the last few years has taken a few episodes to kind of like lay out its premise and its what it tries to deal with each season. This one kind of looks like it's pointing towards like addiction and loss. I'm not sure how that's gonna play out, but
dude, it
doesn't sound like
show,
you'll be watching much more of it.
It
so.
Is just it's full bonkers, dude.
Yeah,
like, it's
nuts.
It was just random scene after random scene. And so, like, I guess kind of by the end, like you said, you could kind of piece a thing or
yeah,
two together.
They
but then just
things
like,
start to tie together. But then it's like, what is Lady Gaga and her weird boyfriend? Like, what are they doing there? Like, there's some weird vampire
they're
things.
Vampires,
and,
yeah. Like,
but are they? Like, I can't really tell.
It is everything thrown into a fucking blender.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, whatever. Like, and like, what the hell is with the one dude who, for whatever reason, needed to check in at this fucked up hotel?
Oh, the junkie.
And he gets fucking butt raped by a fucking drildo.
Which, that has been all over everything today. That one scene has had everybody talking about it in entertainment media. And, evidently that monster is called the Addiction Demon.
Whatever.
He's evidently the literal like representation of what addicts go through.
Just use their bodies till
they die. Yeah, he's dead. I don't know. It's fucked up. And you're right. It's all just thrown into a blender, which is why I actually think American Horror Story Coven is Murder House, which was the one you watched. Why they might be the strongest seasons of it, because they're more cohesive.
Well, dude, all right, I don't remember the first season that, you know, really well, but, like, yeah, there was weird shit in that. Like, there was a rubber guy who would fuck the wife. Like,
yeah,
but it was just, it wasn't cranked up to 11 constantly.
No, it's like you have, like, it's, so Asylum, which was year two, that cranked it up from there. Coven, actually, I think, toned it down a little bit, and then Freak Show was like, I did not like Freak Show at all, and it was off the charts weird and bonkers, and this is picked up there, but I enjoy it way more than I enjoyed anything in Freak Show. So
you know what though, I did think that Lady Gaga was pretty good in it.
She was great. I thought she was very very good. I was
she
very
didn't
surprised.
Have many lines though.
No, but just like she carries herself in a way that is very fitting for what that show was going for, like over
yeah,
the top campy.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where it goes. Like I don't love the show, but I enjoy watching it. It's stupid.
You know what's weird? Being honest here is like I always found her to be kind of disgusting, but for some reason in that show I found her a little more appealing. Maybe it's the whole vampire angle. I don't know.
Like it kind of fits her persona a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, like she looks like she could be a fucking vampire,
right?
Or something.
Yeah,
like that weird face, dude.
Elongated face, and
yeah,
she has a very nice body, but then it's like this weird kind of like look
well,
that she has in her hair, and
that is one part too. Like they have like this kind of sex scene with like another couple.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder, like, do you think that was really her? That was like when they're showing her ass and shit. It was like,
I would not be surprised if it was. If it was her, like I would.
Oh really? I was like, ah, it's probably a double.
I mean, this is somebody who like goes out in public dressed in the weirdest shit ever. So like for her to be acting on TV, like she puts on a show in public every day that she goes out in public.
Yeah, I guess. Well, if that's the case, nice ass. Way to go, Lady Gaga.
And I mean, she wears. My wife and I ended up getting free tickets couple years ago to go see her, and she wears some revealing clothing on stage, so
okay.
She's also a very very good performer, so
yeah,
I was actually very surprised.
I'm not really, I've never been into her or anything, but I thought she was good in the role. Like,
Yeah.
but no, here's the one thing, going back to the fucking sex scene, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. All right, one, the show is getting away with shit like that is kind of surprising for just basic cable. Like, the dude getting ass raped to death.
What, yeah, like it was just a like I was actually taken aback that that was even on television, like.
It was like, yeah, it was, I don't know. And then, but then they get into this like sexy sex scene with this other couple, and it was like, in my opinion, it was pretty tame. Like, it, they're trying to make it all super hot and stuff, but I was like, nah, whatever. There's nothing really
Yeah,
going on here.
it was not erotic at all, and that's what I think they were going for, like especially with the vampire angle that they're trying to play. It was not very erotic at all,
I
though.
don't know, dude. Like, I kept, like, and I was watching that scene, I was like, man, this should be on fucking HBO, and they could really, like, they clearly want to fucking push the envelope, so
Yes. Oh,
it would be
then I think
cooler
they
on.
have.
Yeah, but I think that, like, that scene, if you put that on HBO, I think could have been. I'm basically asking for more sex, Chris, is what I'm saying. It needs to
Sure.
be.
I also thought like there's two other scenes and they're not even scenes. I mean they are scenes, but they are kind of like setups. There is the first murder, I guess, that the cop is investigating, where the chick is
God,
like
yeah.
basically nailed on top of him, like, and then his eyes and tongue were ripped out. Like that was fucking gruesome. And like they
Yeah.
linger on the naked bodies, like they don't show anything, but they linger like way more than anything that would have like we would have seen 5, 10 years ago.
And they had to make sure to, like, tell you that this guy is, like, pumped full of Viagra and still hard, and he's still
Yeah.
inside of this corpse, and he's like, get me out of her, whatever.
Right.
Like, I was like, wow, dude, really?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, good for them that, like, but that's the thing, is, like, it's pushing the envelope in some regards. That's why I wish it really wasn't on basic cable and it
Right,
was
so you could
able to go
definitely do
all the
more with
way.
it. Brian, our mutual friend Brian, he kind of suggested we watch Ryan Murphy's other show that's on Fox, Scream Queens. I did not heard good things about the first episode, but he seemed to really enjoy it, so I might give it a shot on demand or something.
Yeah, nothing about that show, like, interested me or whatever. I was like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was Ryan Murphy, but
No, I didn't either until like, he kind of brought it up.
yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to have him on and have him explain himself,
Yeah,
because
we're
I don't
trying to get Brian onto a show for 5 years now. That's
Didn't
never
we
happened.
have him? We had him on an episode
He was
somewhere there.
on our live episode that we did in Boston.
No, I want
But
to say he was on a Movie Dudes with us, dude. No?
he might have been. I don't think so. I think he was
I see.
supposed to be on and then he kind of backed out. I do remember multiple times him saying he would come on and not actually coming on, though.
I, for some reason, feel like I remember talking about Super 8 with him, but that might have just been, not podcasting, just in
Right.
general. Yeah.
I mean, that was also when that movie came out. We were doing a lot of, was it, can't even think of the name of the chat site we were using at that point in
Like
time
the
for,
tiny chat
yeah,
and
Tiny Chat. We were all like, yeah, he spent a lot of time there with us, so I don't
we should
know
get him on. He's very opinionated about, everything, but
on what
definitely.
what he thinks is good and not good.
Yeah, and he definitely knows his movies pretty
Yes.
well. Trying to. I already got Movie Guru saying he'll come and join us, even though he's not seen any movies lately.
I mean, we could line up a like a theme or something
Yeah, like,
at some
special
point, get him
episode.
on. I guess before we close this out though, I saw The Martian.
Yeah. We should definitely talk about that.
And I had another film on my fringe list that we didn't bring up because it was kind of I had it starred much like Hard Candy. But I guess it ties into The Martian. That's Gravity. I don't know if you saw Gravity.
You are scared. Yeah, I've seen it. You are fucking terrified of, like, isolation and
Yeah,
claustrophobic
like I
space, aren't you? I can tell.
don't like to be alone. Like just being like left out. Like I like to be alone, but I like to be alone and know that like I am not isolated from everybody else. Like
Yeah.
it's why like I am fascinated by like zombie movies too, because that's such a strong like theme that runs through that, is like the rest of society has died, and like
Everything's gone,
you
yeah.
could be the only one and everybody else is gonna eat you. Like with space, it's just like that. It's terrifying to just be like out there by yourself, and like I could just be left out here. Gravity, not really a horror film, although there's horror themes to it. But The Martian, also not a horror film.
Yeah.
Similar themes of isolation, and it's more of a survival movie, more of like man's will to live
Yeah.
and keep him going. I thought it was really good. I would recommend, if you haven't read the book, see the movie first.
Yeah.
Because I came out of the movie feeling a little disappointed in it. That could just be that I just finished the book like a couple days before I saw the movie, so everything was really fresh in my head. But there's like more than two or three major scenes that they pull from the book that don't make it in, and I think they're really good in the book, and them not being there was kind of disappointing. But
I wonder if they shot them and for whatever reason cut them or what, you know? Like there could be that Ridley Scott extended cut, you know?
yeah, I mean, he evidently there's like 24 minutes of extra film. But I know one of the scenes in particular wasn't in there at all, because something happens, and like the way it ends up happening never reaches there. But there's this one scene in the book where they're kind of coming up with a plan to rescue the guy on Mars, and the crew, his original crew, they're gonna go back and get him, and there's some crazy science that goes on. But they cut this completely out of the movie. There's this conversation though about like, what if shit goes bad, and this the youngest girl, Johansson, she is talking to her parents over like the internet or whatever. Like they're close enough that they can actually talk. And she's talking to her parents, and they're like, well, like if you miss this supply drop, like what happens? Like you'll just float out and die. And she's like, I will make it home. And they never explicitly say, well, they do explicitly, but they never explicitly say in that scene what's going to happen. But she like heavily implies that she is going to eat the other crew. And as soon as like they get the supply drop, the pilot guy, he turns to her and goes, so who were you gonna eat first? But it's the book is very funny. The movie has a lot of humor in it. It's not quite as it doesn't come across quite as well, because the book is told from the perspective of like these logs that he's doing, and the movie you're seeing a lot of the things that he's doing. So I would recommend it though.
I really liked Matt Damon as the crazy motherfucker in Interstellar, who's like, "I'm getting off this
Oh yeah.
planet." That's like, I don't know. Whenever I think of the Martian, I think of that character. That was like my favorite
That
part
guy,
of
yeah.
Interstellar.
Like, I've been stuck on this planet, I'm gonna use you motherfuckers to leave. Yeah, that's he was really good in that. Like, he's excellent in this. Like he carries this movie for most of it, because most of it is just him like on it. But there are other people, like there you deal with NASA and how they're trying to like help him, and his crew and how they're preparing to go help him. I think it's really well done science fiction.
I'll have to see it. I like survival movies as it is, like, you know.
It's fun. Like, don't go in
Okay.
expecting this like thrilling movie, but like it's I think you would end up having a lot of fun with it. It's probably like in the middle of my like top of the year list, so.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna have to start thinking about that too. And I've kept up on movies pretty well this year. The one that I am kind of sad that I didn't see is Straight Outta Compton, because like
Yeah,
that got
me
really good
too.
buzz.
I'm hoping that I get to see it before the end of the year, because that's one I really did want to see.
What the hell was I just thinking of? Oh, there was one I cut from, well, there's a couple I cut from my list for this topic of Fringe. One was Requiem for a Dream, which we kind of discussed already.
Talked it last week, yeah.
The other one, and dude, I fucking love this movie, is The Guest. which is like it's not it's it's it has definitely elements of like the stepfather and shit in there, but it's just like a hodgepodge of like awesome fucking 80s movies.
I love the soundtrack in that movie.
It's fantastic. Like it's right up there with It Follows for me. Like it for like soundtracks this year. Like it's
Yes.
fantastic. It's just a fucking blast of a movie. Like, and it like went straight to Netflix when it came out on video and shit. And I saw it. I think I watched it like 2 times. And I fucking went out and bought that motherfucker on Blu-ray. Like I love it that much. Even though I can watch it whenever I want on Netflix, I'm like, this is a movie I need to own. It's that fun. The director of that is Adam Wingard. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he's like two for two in terms of like just fucking awesome movies. Like he did this and You're
You're
Next.
next, yes.
Fantastic fucking horror movie. Like that guy. People talk about like new young directors like Ty West, and they're kind of in the same camp. Like I think they're friends and whatnot. Like I think he's way better than Ty West. Like, I will go see anything fucking Adam Wingard does until he fucking proves me wrong. Like, that guy is the next generation of, like. And it's weird, too, because it's like. The Guest is, like, definitely a throwback to, like, an 80s type of film and with that soundtrack, but I love that shit. And that's shit's, like, coming back, kind of. Like, look at It Follows, you know?
And it follows. Very good movie, too. You should see that.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna be talking about that sometime this month. Guarantee you.
What are we doing next week, Jeff?
Hey, well, I only had two topics that I really wanted to do. One was the one we did this weekend, and the other was modern horror. So I
Okay.
don't know if you want to do that for next week, and then I'll leave the other two up to you.
Yeah, well, let's do modern horror, and then I'm gonna try and see Crimson Peak, which will probably come out after we do the modern horror episode, so.
I might try to see that too. I like Del Toro.
Yeah.
But yeah, for this, we're not even going modern. I think I'm gonna call it current, because
Current
modern,
horror.
like, dude, modern to me would be anything post Scream, maybe.
Probably.
I'm saying 2010 on
Okay.
stuff that's very recent.
Last 5 years.
Yeah. Very current, like, you know, what is like some of our picks for like the best stuff that's come out, you know,
Okay.
yeah, in the last 5 years. So
Yep.
that's what we'll do next week. And then I'll leave it up to you for the other two, Chris,
All
because
right.
these are the only two that I were kind of passionate about. Like, I really want to kind of pick out, you know, I explained why I would like this topic that we did tonight, but I really want to kind of pick out like what's the fresh crop, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so we'll explore current horror next week.
Fuck yeah.
We'll see what I'm looking over my top 10 list. I've already come up with a good little chunk here. So.
I have currently six, and I just mentioned two of them in the last 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, I have at least 5 or 6 from the last couple of years, so.
There's some really good ones, so.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll be back next week.
Movie dudes!
Dudes! Doo 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 doo!